Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories. You can find the podcast on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the privilege and pleasure to speak to another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Mona. Hey, how's it going today?
Hi, Pam. It's going great. I'm really glad to be here finally, after knowing you for some time.
And I'm really excited too that you're a guest with us today. So to get us started, could you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and a little bit about what keeps you busy.
Sure. Well, my name is Mona Molly. Some people who have known me for longer than 2 or 3 years know me as Behnaz or Behnaz. That's my middle name now. But I am from Austin. I grew up here. I'm originally from Iran, but I have lived in Austin, Texas, since I was a small child, and I have been involved with the stuttering community for quite a few years now. About 6 years ago, I became the chapter leader for the Austin, Texas chapter of the National Stuttering Association, and have been very involved. And most recently, I compiled and edited a collection of essays from the Austin NSA chapter for a book called Turning Points. And so writing in literature is a big part of my life. I'm also a bookseller at an independent bookstore here in Austin called Book People. And it's a job that I'm really thrilled about. I'm coming into that after making some significant changes in my life. So I think that's a pretty solid introduction.
Oh, absolutely. And it sounds like you have a lot going on and you're really busy. You have a lot on your plate.
I do. And it's really great. There's a lot that is engaging to me right now. It's a really positive thing. You know, it's a hopeful thing. I've come out of different periods of being in isolation as a result of various obstacles that I've had in my life, and it's feel like I'm in a good place now where I'm able to engage with things that are important to me.
Oh, cool. Cool. I'm glad to hear that. And it sounds like writing is really important to you.
It is. And it's something that is a gift that has been unbelievably difficult to unravel. You know, I mentioned in the book that I just finished compiling and editing in the introduction chapter that I freed my speaking voice about 10 to 12 years ago. And it's only now that I have begun to free my writing voice. And there's a complex story behind that. And it's one that I'm only now beginning to understand. But one of the gifts of being able to put this book together is I was able to connect with an amazing group of people who stutter here in Austin, really diverse people, and to as I was a part of their lives and part of their journeys, I was really able to help them to free their voices. And interestingly, that's the beginning of freeing my writing voice.
Well, that is interesting, and that's and I appreciate and enjoy the title of the book, which I've read and which I found fascinating and in interesting and inspiring. But I like the title "Turning Points," because it sounds like you've had some turning points in your own life.
Absolutely. I have, as for me, stuttering has only been part of my journey. I was in extremely severe stutter. I was unable to communicate, to carry on a normal conversation about 12 years ago. But I've also had other significant challenges in my life. I've lived with another developmental disorder, ADHD, as long as I've lived with stuttering. And I also had other issues in my development. I lost my dad in an accident when I was young, and I was raised by just my mom, who brought us here from Iran. And all of these things really kept me from connecting with others, from learning, from being able to discover and unlock my potential. So, there, I one of the things that people, a few people have already asked me about the book is why I didn't include my own story. And, this was honestly the most difficult aspect of putting this book together. I tried very hard, and I was in the process of my own turning point in over the course of this project, but I didn't feel like I could tell the story in a way that I felt comfortable with and others could understand. Even though I've always wanted to be a writer, it wasn't until receiving treatment for my adult ADHD at the age of 25 that I've been able to read books from start to finish.
Oh, wow.
And so I over the course of this book and getting treatment and really understanding my background and myself, I've learned a lot about myself. So I think that's for another time. I'm really w working through my journey now.
Well, I want to just ask if it's okay. Do you think that there is a connection between ADHD and your stuttering?
Well, we do know that a lot of kids who stutter present with other issues. Some do, some don't. I'm not sure if there's a direct connection in terms of the onset. I think that they're both genetic and they're both neurologically based. But as far as the starting point, I'm not sure, but Absolutely, there's been a connection with both of them. They affected how I grew and developed. They, as a result of ADHD, I had significant social and academic obstacles growing up. I didn't have any friends growing up, and this was a really painful and devastating thing for my mom, to watch as I was growing up. And it of course made my stuttering significantly worse. And on top of that, both of these disorders are so highly stigmatized and misunderstood. I think I shared with you earlier, Pam, that I think stuttering and ADHD are the two things that you're blamed for, like nothing else that I know of. And so it really affected my self-concept growing up to not be able to communicate, to not be able to engage in a classroom. And I also think they're connected in the sense that I didn't have help for either of them growing up. And,
Oh, wow.
I didn't receive, there was no stuttering clinic at the University of Texas, at Austin when I was growing up. Very fortunately, since about 2004, there's been a wonderful program under the direction of Dr. Courtney Bird at UT. But by that time, I was a senior in high school, and I didn't find help for my stuttering until that year at the age of 17 when I attended an intensive program at the University of Utah that was a foundation for me to make changes. And I didn't receive proper treatment for the stuttering. I'm sorry, for the ADHD until I was 25. And it, by the time that I did receive help for my ADHD, I was at a significant loss in my life. I missed out on a lot of opportunities. I missed out on, a good education. And I had to work through all these issues. It took about a year and a half in counseling with a psychologist who didn't know about, honestly, didn't have a lot of background on stuttering. I don't think that she had worked with anyone who stuttered, but she understood ADHD and she knew a great deal about human development. And she was able to understand as she listened to me and learned from me and learned about these two disorders and the level of impairment that I had and the obstacles that I had in receiving help and receiving validation, she was able to work with me. And so it has been a long process, and these two things are so intimately related that I don't think I can tell my story as a person who stutters in full in a way that is accurate and is reflective of my journey until I'm able to grasp this other piece of the puzzle, that this other aspect of my journey.
It does indeed sound like both are interconnected. But it also
Absolutely.
sounds, yeah, but it also sounds like you're emerging, and that you have a handle on these two things that you deal with in your life.
Honestly, I think I do, and it's been an incredible journey to get to the point that I can say that, But I'm really very hopeful to have published these stories, and to be able to do something that I always dreamed about, but had no idea how I could ever get to this point, but to have published a book, for me, that is just incredible. And I'm really very pleased with how it turned out. Hopefully we'll get a chance now to talk about the book itself and the stories.
Yeah, it's a great segue into that, and I really want to be able to give you an opportunity to share with us where the book came from, and why you chose the title, and how it came to be. So, how was this born?
Okay, well, I honestly think it started back in about 2003 with an English teacher that I had in high school. And her name was Miss Vicki Hebert, and she was an exceptional human being who had a remarkable role in my journey. I was 16 going on 17, and was about to enter this intensive stuttering program. And I was in her class all through junior year, and finally, in about May or so, I opened up to her. It was the end of the school year, and I asked if I could talk to her about something, and that was the beginning of my first turning point. I didn't mention that Miss Aber had ADHD. She has ADHD. She is a remarkable person, and she didn't know a lot about stuttering either, but she had the empathy and the compassion to listen and to understand. And she was a great source of support as I went into my intensive program. And also over the following years, when I went off to college, I was a reporter for the Daily Texan, the student newspaper at UT. And I did that despite the fact that I had significant challenges in my classes, but I found that that was an environment that I can function in enough. And so I was able to do that, but I was never really able to write about the stuttering. And that is something that she always encouraged me to do. She wrote a letter of recommendation for me for college, in which she called me the eloquent stutterer.
Oh, wow.
And that was something that I always felt that I needed to grow into. That was a role. And so it always hung over me to eventually put the experience of stuttering down in written form. So after college, I became involved with the National Stuttering Association. I was fortunate to have some very encouraging and inspiring people in my life, including Dr. Lee Reeves and Russ Hicks of the Dallas chapter, to encourage me to start the chapter. Now, that led into a period of about 3 years, or actually 4 years, of leading that chapter, which has been the most rewarding period in my life thus far. And I always as I brought these people into the meetings, and as I was able to impact them in a way that others had impacted me over the years, I wanted to tell our stories. I wanted to find a way to capture what was said and experienced at our meetings. So the other part of your question, you asked about how Turning Points came about. Well, there was a gentleman in our chapter named John Moore. He actually is the author of the first chapter in the book, and he came into our chapter, and he is a professional speaker and a very inspiring person, and he emceed our third annual open house, and he led with the theme Turning Points. And he called me the day after that open house, and he said, "Mona, I think last night went great. The stories on the panel were just incredible. We had such a great reaction from the people in the audience, including the SLP graduate students at the University of Texas. And, why don't you put these stories together in a book? You're a writer. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for everyone else." So that was it, and then that was the beginning of about a 2 year process of overcoming and digging deep into my own journey and embracing the treatment that I was receiving, and thinking a lot about the stuttering all this time and the impact that that had had on me and was still having on me, and the obstacles that I needed to overcome to move past my ADHD, were so closely related to the stuttering. Again, if I had received help for the stuttering earlier in my journey, the ADHD would have been dealt with. I would have had an answer to that. I would have received help. And so I think all of that really energized me even more to do the absolute best that I could to bring truth to these stories and to the experiences of the people who had been coming to our chapter meetings.
Wow. Now, how did you get people to want to write their stories and contribute to this great collection?
Well, by the time that I started the book, I had just finished being a chapter leader for 4 years, and a great majority of the transformations that are described in the book had taken place over the course of those years. And actually, the Austin chapter, there was an original Austin chapter that was around for a period in about 2004 and 2005. So, as a result of the transformations that were made over 4 years in the National Stuttering Association meetings in Austin, and also the transformations that were made by many of the members in our chapter who received speech therapy here in Austin. I already knew a lot about the authors and their stories, and I had been a part of their transformation. And so I worked with them. I went back and forth quite a few times, and I was also very fortunate to recruit some amazing writing talent in Austin. About four of the authors are professional writers who have published books or have had other significant roles in teaching. For example, Karen Kreitzer, who writes just a phenomenal chapter on covert stuttering, is a high school English and creative writing teacher.
Oh.
And so I connected with all the support that I could find. Everyone was incredibly supportive of working with each other, of encouraging the development of each other's stories. And it was a lot like being a chapter leader. A lot of the obstacles and challenges that I had in being a chapter leader and in encouraging people to become involved and to tell their stories were there. But it's the incredible mechanism of self-help that you learn from the experiences of others. You are inspired by the experiences of others, and that allows you to transcend where you are in your own life and to move forward.
Wow, I didn't realize that some of the authors had previous professional writing experience. So that indeed must have made the process a little bit easier for you.
In many cases, it did. And then there were others who really came out of their comfort zone. Writing was not a particular area of strength with them and for them. And so they came out of that and they worked with me. And as I saw how these stories were evolving, I thought a lot about them and what could make their contributions unique and valuable.
Yeah. You mentioned particularly Karen's chapter where she wrote about covert stuttering, and that happens to be the chapter that most resonated with me because I was a covert stutterer for many, many years, and I could relate very much to what she was saying about the difficulties of passing, and what that means for listeners is, being a person who stutters but trying to pass as fluent, and you pay such a huge emotional price trying to do that, and you use the word eloquent earlier as a description of what your mentor described you as, and Karen's chapter was very eloquently written and really spoke to the covert experience, which a lot of people who stutter and those that don't probably don't fully understand. So that was really valuable to me to read about and feel somebody else's insights.
Yes, Karen is just phenomenal. That chapter was incredible, and so many of the other chapters are too. I think what makes this book particularly valuable is the diversity of perspectives. And I have of the 15 authors who contribute essays, I got an incredible broad range of perspectives. I got just about every major age group. I got all different kinds of careers, from professional speaking to journalism to music to business. I was able to capture people who had reached their turning points at very different times in their lives. I have Tessa Andrade, whose essay, A Reporter's Voice, talks about finding her passion in journalism when she was in high school and how that was the beginning of a turning point in her life, which, by the way, I could relate to in an incredible way
Yeah, I'm
because
sure.
that was my journey as well. But then we have on the other hand, and Joy Chandler, who closes the section of stories by people who stutter. And she is our oldest member. She states that she's 76 years old at in the beginning of that of her essay, and she talks about the fact that there was no speech therapy when she was growing up. And she talks about finally beginning to receive help in her mid-30s, and then the obstacles that she had, and the various different types of treatment that she sought. And she talks about reaching her turning point in her mid-50s. And that is an incredible journey. She is so optimistic in that story, and that just shows that it's never too late to make a big change in your life. There are so many other ways in which the authors are diverse. I included a very dear friend of mine, Armand, who has been a part of our Austin chapter for a number of years now. He also lives with cerebral palsy, and he talks about the impact that cerebral palsy had on his stuttering, and the social exclusion, of living as a person who must navigate the world in crutches and a wheelchair, and the additional handicap and the additional obstacles that he has in overcoming his stuttering as a result of that. And then there's a parent who I just could not have asked for a better parent chapter. I wanted to, I thought initially that I would try to get a couple or a few, but I was able to connect with Amy Everett, who writes about her son. She has a son who's a preteen now, and he deals with not only stuttering but also ADHD and epilepsy.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and her story is just phenomenal. I mean, she's an incredibly gifted writer. She talks about this journey and the various other challenges that she had, but also being fortunate to find compassionate help for her son, because her son comes from a different generation than I did, growing up in Austin. When I was growing up, there was nothing, but now there is help for her son Walter. And so she talks about coming to the NSA meetings and hearing the stories of adults, and who being inspired by them and recognizing that she has these other challenges for her son, but she also realizes that there are ways to cope and to overcome. And I just as I was editing her story, I thought a lot about my own mom and the challenges that she has had to navigate over the course of her lifetime, trying to find help for me, and how desperate she was. It's just it's a very personal collection to me, and I'm really very happy that I was able to bring together such a diverse and compassionate set of authors.
Yeah, you also included some professionals as well in the collection, right?
Oh, I did. Yes, absolutely. Speech pathologists have been integral to our Austin NSA chapter as they are nationally. Their role is indispensable, and it's an important symbiotic relationship that we have with them. So the second section of the book is called Voices of Professionals, and I include three chapters from speech language pathologists who have played very significant roles in the Austin chapter. One of them is Dr. Courtney Bird, who has been involved with the National Stuttering Association for her entire professional career, working with people who stutter. They're starting with being an undergraduate student at, I believe it was Texas Christian University, and attending the Dallas chapter meetings. And she has been so valuable to everything that we have done here in Austin. She has been an indispensable person to us. She's been an incredible source of inspiration. And she talks about her professional path and her first client who stutters, and how just fundamental that was for her in shaping her views and her passion. And she has something very exciting that she shares with us, and that is that as of just this past year, she was able to establish a new institute at the University of Texas that provides therapy to people who stutter at no cost.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So
Wow.
it is just unbelievable there that there's a long story behind that. You should invite her on the show
Oh,
one
that'd
time.
be great. Yeah.
Yes, she has that clinic now, and it is providing top rate evidence-based practice. And another person who is included in the volume is Megan McGill, who is one of her doctoral students, and she was actually the first chapter leader for our kids chapter here in Austin. And she talks about her professional path and meeting people who stutter early in her career, and how invaluable that was, and how not only her classroom experiences, but also participation in the NSA equipped her to work with stuttering. And she also talks about her colleagues. A lot of her colleagues who left graduate school without that knowledge. You know, it is taken for granted that there is a stuttering program at the University of Texas now, but that is not a reality in all places across the country. So she offers you some insight on what people who stutter, as well as professionals, can gain from participating in the NSA. And then finally, the closing chapter in that section is by Dr. Farzan Ohrani, who is now the stuttering specialist at Texas State University. It's about 30 minutes south of Austin. And that is another program that for many, many years did not have a stuttering program. And Dr. Ohrani, like the other two authors, found his way into the NSA early in his career, and he talks about what he learned along his journey and the unique ways that he was able to connect with people who stutter at the NSA meetings and to empathize with them. He offers a very candid anecdote about realizing that he used a lot of the same avoidances that some of his clients had used, because he has an accent, you know, and he talks about attending NSA meetings and finding the environment was so open and welcoming that he could connect with his own experience and to empathize with his clients and to think about, you know, before he asks a client to make a change in how they communicate, he realized that he had to stop and to think about his own avoidances. And so I just thought that that was also another wonderful perspective. So the three stories by professionals are also a very important part of this book.
Well, the entire book is inspiring, and you've used the word hopeful several times. It's also very hopeful to read these stories and to read these heartfelt essays. Because we have to wind down, I want to just conclude with where can people find this? Where can people find the book?
Yes, so it is available through the National Stuttering Association, westutter.org. It is available through the online store there. It is also available on Amazon.com. And for people who prefer ebooks, and I think also for a large part of our international audience for whom that is actually a much more accessible format. The ebook of Turning Points is available across all of the major digital retailers, so you can get it on the Apple Store. You can get it on Amazon Kindle and a variety of other places. And if you live in Austin, you can get it at Book People, which is the independent bookstore here.
Awesome. And where do the proceeds of the book sales go?
100% of the proceeds go to the National Stuttering Association. All of the contributors who volunteered their time, including myself, it is in the spirit of what we do in the National Stuttering Association that everything is done by people who stutter for people who stutter. So 100% of the proceeds from this book will go directly to the NSA, and advancing its mission of bringing hope and empowerment to children and adults who stutter and those who love them.
What a perfect way to wrap up this conversation. Mona, I just want to say thank you so much for being a guest and sharing and being so honest. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Pam, and just wanted to say finally that this was a big step for me, to be on here and to be open and candid. So you have helped me in my own journey of moving forward. So thank you for that, and thank you for everything that you do for the stuttering community, Pam.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.
Emerging.